On this week's edition of New York Now, Governor Andrew Cuomo says spending cuts are coming without help from the federal government.
This is now turning into a political brawl on state and local funding.
And if you like food, this episode's for you. First, I'll speak with Assemblywoman Donna Lopardo, who chairs the Agriculture Committee in the Assembly. Then we'll speak with David Fisher from the New York Farm Bureau, who says the supply chain is causing real problems for farmers upstate. And Karen DeWitt breaks down the news of the week. I'm Dan Clark, and this is New York Now.
Today, the Senate majority will pass a law
prohibiting it, and we will take them to court challenging it.
Yet another stand for New York and sending a message to the nation.
Welcome to this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark, coming to you again this week from the state capitol. Governor Andrew Cuomo said again this week that if the federal government doesn't send billions of dollars to New York State, that the state will be forced to cut spending on areas like schools, local governments, and hospitals. He took aim at U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who Cuomo accused of ignoring middle-income Americans.
That's what this is really about. They want to fund corporate America. That's who puts money in their pockets. And I say, let's fund working Americans. That's the choice. Bail out, us, them. No, it's just theater.
And those costs will also be passed on to counties, which will either absorb them or add them to your tax bill. Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon said earlier this week that they'll suffer without help from Congress.
But the reality is, if there is not help from the federal government, for local governments, and for the state of New York, it is going to be a painful, painful process later on this year.
We don't know how much the state will cut spending or where that money will come from, but we do know the governor's not happy about it. Joining me to discuss from her office at the state capitol, I'm here as well, but she's in the LCA, is Karen DeWitt from New York State Public Radio. Karen, thanks so much, as always, for joining us here on New York Now.
Perfect. My historic office here up in the third floor of the capitol.
Yeah, so I want to start with this kind of tension between the governor and members of Congress, especially Mitch McConnell, because to me, it seemed like this week he really got deep into it. There's this rage behind what he's saying that I don't think that we saw before. Before it was kind of a warning, and now it's him being really, I don't want to say vengeful, but it's clear that this is a priority for him.
Well, I think McConnell saying that states should just declare bankruptcy really got under the governor's skin in a big way. But also, Governor Cuomo has sort of, as you said, latched onto it for several days. He knows that he's on national TV every day. It's sort of a must-see TV event where all the news channels play him. And, you know, he still is a politician, nothing wrong with that. And I think he is using that to make the Democratic case against Republican leaders like Mitch McConnell, who think the states spend too much money, there should be less government, and we shouldn't bail out a blue state over a red state. McConnell's kind of playing to the conservative Republican voters, and Cuomo sees an opportunity to kind of, play the other side of that. Plus, truthfully, he's desperate for federal money because, as it came out in the last several days, we have at least a $13 billion budget gap. And in the middle of next month, they're going to have to start thinking about making serious cuts as high as $8.2 billion. So he does, in addition to being mad, using the format to gain attention for himself, he also really needs money.
Yeah, it's weird to me that it took until now for him to kind of had a target. He's had a lot of kumbaya moments with the president, who he's usually at odds with. And now we have him going up against Mitch McConnell because he's the only Republican right now really standing in his way of getting what he wants in terms of scaled up testing and, more federal aid to the state.
Also, McConnell isn't really all that popular with anyone, even the voters in his own state. But Trump does have a significant base, and the governor's always walking that fine line between criticizing the president and praising the president because he knows he needs them.
Which, on the other side of this, the governor had this kind of series of remarks this week, a couple of days, where I don't want to say blame, but he really was blaming everybody else in the entire world for the coronavirus pandemic and how bad it got in New York. He said he blamed the WHO, the NIH, WHO being an international organization, the NIH being a United States organization. And he went as far as saying that, the media wasn't reporting on this in January and February. And I know that did not sit well with everybody.
Yeah, he sounds a little bit like another politician that we all know and see every day on TV, who is also from Queens. Right. There was a little bit of, I'm blaming everybody else. It's not my responsibility. As Cuomo said, governors don't do pandemics. I think he sees that sort of the second phase of this. There's been news articles saying, well, Seattle and Washington State did a better job reacting than New York. And the governor right now, you know, is feeling very sensitive about that.
So we have this interview with you, and this is a great interview. So I want to tease it with plenty of time to go before I have to let you go. You interviewed David Fisher from the Farm Bureau this week, and he is a dairy farmer up in St. Lawrence County. He talked to you about all of the challenges that farmers are facing right now and what could be done to help. I want to know what your biggest takeaway was from that interview, because I was there filming you doing the interview, and I listened to David afterwards, and it just really hooked me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, grocery stores are one of the only places I'm allowed to go other than my office, because you and I are considered essential workers, so we're at least allowed to go to our offices a few hours a day. And you go to the grocery store and it's not a lot of fun anymore. There's empty shelves, you worry, there's rationing of products. And I really wanted to hear what he had to say about that, you know, being at the other side of where the food is produced, you know, is there enough food for everybody? And, you know, are there really shortages of products? And I think he answered some of those questions. Some of his answers made me feel good. Some of his answers made me a little worried, frankly.
All right. Well, our viewers that are watching right now, stick around for that interview, of course. We will leave it there with you, Karen. Thanks so much, as always, for your analysis of the news of the week. And thank you for coming here to the press briefings almost every day. We really value you being here. And we always think it's really important for journalists to be in that room to hold the governor accountable. So thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thanks. Although you certainly hold the record for going to the most press briefings, I think.
Yeah, I did. I've missed about 2 days in the last 58, so we're on a roll.
Right.
Now on to news about food and the people who bring it to us. With restaurants and schools closed in New York, farmers are finding it harder than ever to find somewhere to sell their products. Some dairy farmers upstate are dumping their milk because they don't have anywhere to sell it. Some of those farmers will now be connected to food banks, and Cuomo says the state will pay for it.
We have people downstate who need food. We have farmers upstate who can't sell their product. We have to put those two things together. It's just common sense, but we have to make that marriage between product upstate and need downstate.
We're actually going to be speaking with a dairy farmer later in the show who had to dump his own milk. But first, I wanted to know if there was anything more that could be done to help farmers through this crisis. So I checked in with Assemblywoman Donna Lopardo. She chairs the Agriculture Committee in the Assembly. She said there could be a silver lining for farmers in the COVID-19 pandemic. Assemblywoman Donna Lopardo from the Binghamton area, thanks so much for joining us here on New York Now.
My pleasure. Coming to you live from Enwell, New York.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you about farming and agriculture because you are the agriculture chair in the Assembly. But before we get to that, I'm just really curious about where you are in the Southern Tier. What's the coronavirus like there right now? Because we've heard about it in Buffalo. We've heard about it, obviously, downstate. Tell me what your community is experiencing right now.
I think we're doing very well here. I mean, people are have been adhering to the social distancing guidelines. Everyone has been following the rules, wearing masks. So we've had 21 deaths in Broome County. It's 21 deaths too many. But our caseload is coming down. The hospitals have plenty of capacity. They're looking forward to starting elective surgery soon after the governor gave the go-ahead today for our county. So I think we're doing well. I think people want to get back to work, but they understand we need to do it gradually, and you know, all cylinders are going to try to accomplish that in a safe way. So I feel good about Broome County.
So let's move on to farming and agriculture. And I feel like people who might be watching this might tune out because they might be living somewhere downstate in New York City where, you know, there aren't those farms. There isn't this big agriculture industry. But what people don't understand or maybe don't realize is that a lot of their food comes from these farms upstate. So when they suffer, really all of us suffer. You're the chair of the Agriculture Committee in the Assembly. I'm wondering if you've spoken to any farmers about how they're coping through all of this right now, and what have you been hearing from them?
Yes, I have heard from so many farmers, so many craft brewers, so many people in the horticulture field, so many folks who put that food on people's tables who really were not set up for this type of work shortage. And when people learn that, you know, for example, half of all the butter and that's produced in New York State goes to restaurants and schools. So much of our infrastructure is designed to address the needs of restaurants and schools. When you take that out of the equation, we're not nimble. We can't really shift quickly. And so good news, the governor wants to try to divert some of that food banks, but figuring out how to do that quickly and right away, it's going to be a challenge, but we welcome it.
On that point, there seems to be, like you said, these problems with the supply chain where we don't have these schools open, we don't have these restaurants open, and obviously that's having a short-term effect on farmers, like you said, and hopefully there can be some solutions there. But I'm wondering, in terms of the long-term effect on farmers, obviously we need these farmers to be here down the road. Are you concerned about that, and what can we do about that?
I see this hidden lining, a silver lining here. I think people are really started to think about, where does my food come from? Who actually is doing the work? These are now essential workers, people who are on the front lines. They're as much of a first responder as anybody else, the folks out in the fields, in the processing, in the growing, and in the tending to these crops and other goods that agriculture puts out. So I'm very, very worried. But on the other hand, this is a golden opportunity for people to really take a step back and say, what were these people dealing with in the first place? The mental health challenges, the labor challenges, the climate issues, all the rest of it to become sustainable. And if we can reimagine New York agriculture, I think we'll be better off in the long run. It's just getting those folks through this period and also helping them feel how much we appreciate what they do for us. That's my challenge, is to make sure they're not forgotten in this.
When we think about farmers, I feel like from my perspective at least, I think of farming as really like an industry that is helped out by the federal government quite a bit with, in terms of subsidies, in terms of direct aid and things like that. But right now we see farmers being, I don't want to say negatively affected by the state, but the state's actions in response to the coronavirus are really what's causing this kind of struggle for them. Do you think that this is a state responsibility to kind of, you know, help farmers through this? Or do you think this should fall more towards the federal government?
Wow. Okay. Well, certainly on the state side, we have a state budget that's going to be reexamined. And, you know, regularly we're struggling to just provide basic funding for research and for agricultural production in the first place, not to mention the mental health programs that they need. So, you know, they suffered a bit of a cut this year, not a large one, but, you know, they got a cut. And when we revisit this, we have to view this as essential. We cannot take a line across agricultural funding and research. So that's the main thing, as far as I'm concerned, the state can do. And as we're putting together these regional economic development plans for reimagining our regions, you know, at least in the southern tier, agriculture is going to be front and center to make sure it gets the attention it deserves. On the federal side, we are so late in trying to address supply chain disruptions across the system. I mean, New York State is probably one of the most affected in terms of agricultural impacts. But across the state, these folks should have leaped into action weeks ago to try to redirect excess supplies into our food banks, to employ more of the restaurants like they're doing with World Central Kitchen. Instead of these workers being unemployed, let's get them to work putting meals in front of people who need them at the food banks as well. So the federal government could help us out with immigration reforms. Right now, the guest workers, they can only come in if they've either been here before or they're already in the system. So if we have a shortage, they're not letting any new folks in, and we could potentially still be deporting people. So they need to lighten up on the immigration side, surely, to get the food out of the fields. We need a supply chain disruption plan out of them. And we certainly need their full support for New York State agriculture in particular. This is not a blue state issue. This is a central piece of the national economy, what New York farmers bring to the story.
Right. And agriculture, like you said, is one of the state's top economic drivers, especially upstate. It's just this huge piece of the economic puzzle here in New York. These farmers, some of these family farms have been here for decades, if not, you know, longer than that. How do you see the agriculture industry coming out of this on the other side? Is this something that will be a permanent damage to the industry? Or I guess, are we going to build back stronger, which I guess would be the hope?
Well, if I have anything to do about it, we're going to build back stronger. And we're going to use this as an opportunity to really shed light on the circumstances they've been facing to begin with. And if we can, you know, get inside the real story of New York farming and the mental health challenges that they face, the financial difficulties with banking, the climate issues. I think this is a moment for us to say, you know, welcome farming into the conversation of what is vital and essential in our state. I'm optimistic about it, but look, I'm not going to diminish the seriousness and the impact that these folks are going through, and we're going to do our best to be with them every step of the way. You know, when the governor, you know, realized about milk being spilled and other crops being potentially destroyed, he set in motion the Nourish New York program, which we're very, very happy about. Great start. But now we need to make sure that those grants, the stimulus grants, get out to farms. They weren't included in a couple of those rounds. We want to make sure that our federal representatives see New York as an agricultural state that's very much in need of the respect that they so much deserve.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Assemblywoman Donna Lopardo, we love having your perspective on this issue. Thanks so much for joining us this week on New York Now.
Great. Hope it was helpful. Thanks.
Some farms in New York have found new ways of doing things during all of this. One of them is right here in the Capital Region. Producer Nicole Van Slyke checked in with Edible Uprising Farm in Rensselaer County.
Hi, my name is Alicia Brown, and I'm one of the owners of Edible Uprising Farm here in Troy. We have been trying to adapt just like all other small businesses and everybody all over the world dealing with COVID-19, and farms especially are feeling a lot of pressure right now in order to provide enough food for the demand and make sure that everybody who needs to be fed will be fed. We've experienced quite a rush in demand for local produce, which was extremely exciting, but also very intimidating. You know, we're a very small farm. We're about an acre. We plant really intensively so we can grow a lot of food, but it's still a huge change for us. No longer are restaurants part of the picture this year for us. Last year, it was about 50% of our business was through restaurants, also through our farm stand. Behind me, you'll see our farm stand that every week during the growing season, we have dozens of people coming to pick up their produce from our farm stand. And this year, that's changing. Our farm stand is actually going to be moved online this year. And what that means is that every week we're going to be updating the website with everything that we have available on the farm that's ready for harvest. And people in Troy and Albany and the surrounding area can purchase their grocery list from our website, and then people in Troy can get free home delivery, and everybody else can come and pick up a box of what they've ordered from our farm stand without having to touch any doorknobs or pick through food that other people have picked through. The produce has only been touched by myself and my husband, who grow and harvest all of the food here on the farm. We're excited that we have been able to figure out a way to continue providing food to the surrounding community during this difficult time.
But not all farms have been able to adapt during all of this. Some are really struggling to make ends meet. They say Cuomo's plan to buy food from farms is a good first step, but that more needs to be done to support the agriculture industry. Karen DeWitt spoke with David Fisher. He's the president of the New York Farm Bureau, and he's a dairy farmer who recently had to dump his own milk.
David Fisher, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, the pandemic has been a strain on everybody, but it's particularly been a strain for farmers. And I know that you're a dairy farmer, as we can see from the clothing that you're wearing. And I understand that recently you had to dump some of your milk because of the disruption in the markets. And I imagine that must have been very traumatic. Can you explain how you felt doing that and why you had to do that?
Well, it's really tough, but huge disruptions in the supply chain that nobody was prepared for and nobody really expected. So, you know, when you look at the scenarios of approximately half of the food in this country goes through food service and restaurants, and that completely shuts off in a very short period of time, it leaves a lot of things in a challenge. And milk is one of those things. And as a dairy farmer, yes, we have been one of the farms chosen to just get rid of some surplus milk. Being a creative farmer, we try not to. So we are feeding a fair amount of it, or most of what we are charged on our farm with disposal of, feeding it back to the cows and our heifers. It's very nutritious, and they're doing very well utilizing that, although we would much rather have it gone to market and made into milk or cheese or other dairy products.
Right. So people must wonder, why couldn't you just take that milk and take it to the grocery stores and sell it there?
Well, it needs to be processed, and pasteurization is a key part of a lot of the parts of the supply chain of food, and dairy products being one of them. So without all the plant capacity and proper distribution, it just can't get to where it needs to get to. And it's very frustrating, the fact that, you know, we have excess milk, but we can't get it to people that are in need at this time. So we're working on that.
Well, you might be aware that Governor Cuomo said this week that he wants to help farmers like you coordinate to get your milk to companies that make yogurt or cottage cheese and pay you for it, and then get it down to some of the food banks downstate where people are hurting even more than upstate because of all the unemployment and all the effects of the virus. So have you heard any more about that? And do you think that that would be a system that could work?
We just heard about that a short time ago, and so it's good news. There is plenty of raw products in the food supply chain, and the challenge is to getting them through the distribution system to where they need to get to. But with all these disruptions, I think it will very potentially benefit farmers in New York State if the governor was willing to do that. And that was a bold step, and we really appreciate that.
Now, when I go to the grocery store, because, of course, it's one of the few places I'm allowed to go these days, it's kind of unnerving because a lot of the shelves are empty and there's rationing of some food products. I mean, I've experienced rations on butter, eggs, flour. And I'm wondering, because you're the head of the Farm Bureau, you have kind of your finger on the pulse of all the farmers in the state, should we be worried about our food supply, that there just isn't enough food for everybody right now?
Absolutely not. There is a plentiful supply of food in the countryside. The challenge is getting it through the processing and distribution channels appropriately. Eggs, there's plenty of eggs. I know there's a huge challenge right now with cartons, and they're backordered and they're backlogged. The egg industry was used to selling a lot to food service in big flats of several dozen on a flat, and they can't do that when they need to go to the grocery store and be in 6, 12, or 18 packs.
Yeah, so there's a lot of those challenges that people don't think about. You think they can be resolved, you know, in the next few months, because it seems like we're going to be home a lot more than we're going to be out at, you know, cafeterias or restaurants.
I'm confident in a short time that these things will get worked through. One of the huge disruptions right now in the meat aisles are all the COVID problems in the slaughterhouses. And that's going to be a challenge to work through. Just for pork, for example, last week, we were, and a couple more pork plants have closed. We were about 500,000 pigs short each week of processing capabilities. So that's causing those prices to plummet, and backlogs in fat hogs.
So it sounds like there's enough food, but you might not get your first choice when you go to the grocery store. Say you want pork, maybe you're going to need to buy beef or chicken or tofu or something.
Hopefully we can make adjustments. And I know one of the beef plants that was down is back online last week. So it's going to ebb and flow, and there's going to be challenges. But when you want to double the supply chain through the grocery store process, that takes a little bit of time to adjust and get all the logistics worked out.
So for many farmers in New York, we're getting into planting season, wondering, how do you plan if you're a farmer? Because there's no way of knowing, especially if your market is restaurants or schools. You have no idea now for the next season whether any of these places are going to be open. So are you giving any advice to farmers about how they should plan?
It's a huge risk, and it's a challenge. We kind of take this risk every year. You know, we spend money in the spring and buy seeds and put our effort into it and hope when harvest comes that we can have something that has a good market. And It's always a gamble. Markets fluctuate every year. And so it's not really a lot different, although it's worse this year. So we're used to those risks, I guess, is the best way to put it.
There's also the issue of keeping the workers safe. I assume they're going to need personal protective equipment. There might have to be different housing arrangements because a lot of the places where the farm workers stay, it's summer and they cook communally or maybe, you know, share a bathroom. I understand that you folks are looking for guidance from the state of New York for that, about rules and regulations. How is that going? Have you made any progress with that?
We are working with DOL and the health departments and the governor's office on that. It's a huge need. It's very important. And you're right. Those that will spread quickly in some of those housing units. So we have approval to get waivers on temporary housing or for quarantine reasons and things like that. So been in many of those conversations. We have a farm labor specialist, Richard Stupp at Cornell, who's been working hard with Department of Labor and Health Department on those things as well.
So, all right. Thanks for joining us. We'll let you get back to your work and stay well. Be well.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
We'll leave it there for this week's show. We'll see you here next week on New York Now. Until then, I'm Dan Clark. Have a great week and be well.